Well, we're going to start, as I said, I wanted to start a special message today called Love Like Jesus for the next 3 weeks. And I really wanted to focus on what love looks like when we learn from the Bible, not necessarily what we'll learn from Kay Jewelers or anybody else on the TV right now, any kind of chocolate promoters or florists. If you see anything, you can always tell when Valentine's Day is around the corner because the guilt commercials then begin, right? Can I attest, men? Yeah. Anybody that's in financial peace, do not buy into what they're selling. At least not now, right? We're doing some other things to be able to do that in the future. But honestly, to love is to love like Jesus. And oftentimes we need to then kind of switch, have a paradigm shift in our minds as to what love should really look like. So, to love like Jesus. Well, anybody that might have had children before, if you're a woman and you've given birth to children, I know why we have moms that are moms and aunts like moms that might not have given birth, but those that have actually given birth, you've probably experienced this before. You'll be in a room where there's a bunch of moms and someone somewhere starts talking about the day they gave birth, right? And what happens is that it becomes like this war story sharing, kind of like men in fish stories, the fish that got away. You'll never believe this fish that I got, and it was this big, you know, and by the time they're done, it's this big. And it's the same thing with women in their birth stories. They're amazing, kind of like, and then I was in labor for 45 days. I didn't have any pain medication, you know, these stories just, they turn into bigger things than what they actually were. It's what our memories remember. Well, anyway, in the same way, I think sometimes we have stories of offense in our lives. And when we're sharing things with people, you might say, well, you know, somebody might be sharing so-and-so, you know, they gossiped about me or maybe they hurt my feelings. And there's something that rises within us where we go, oh, that ain't nothing. You know what somebody did to me? And it becomes this kind of one-upmanship about offense and the things that we've endured, because it's kind of like a badge of honor, right? This is what we've endured. We've been able to overcome this and that. And so we kind of amp up our offenses. Well, I really wanted to talk about how Jesus loves. Because this first week, we're going to talk about how he forgives sinners. And some of you know some of my story. I shared some of that last week. And over time, I've shared some of that. So when I was a young girl, I experienced a lot of things that most people should never experience. And some of it was sexual abuse, and some of it was emotional abuse when I was a young girl. And there was a lot of time when I harbored a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness for years and years and years and years because I couldn't forgive. We had this dear friend that was a friend of my mom's and a friend of our family. She was a little French-Canadian nun. Her name was Sister Leona LaRoche. And Sister Leona, honestly, she was like this tiny little itty-bitty thing, but she was a powerhouse, and we adored her. And she was such a dear, dear friend. She actually did prison ministry with my mom. And so I remember very vividly at some point her saying to me, you know, Debbie, when we pray in a little French-Canadian accent, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says that he will only forgive us as we can forgive others. And I was probably a teenager at that point. I was like, yeah, whatever, you know? But I think there was something in this woman that could see how much bitterness that I was harboring, and that she was reminding me that I had to forgive in order to receive the Lord's forgiveness. And even Jesus says this. This is Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, right? This is part of the Lord's Prayer. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that's a really hard truth to accept. So maybe just maybe Sister Leona knew something about me that I didn't even know about myself and was encouraging me at that time to let things go. How do you forgive something that seems unforgivable? So We're going to talk about three things over the next few weeks. The first one is this, is that Jesus loves by forgiving sinners. He forgives sinners. And next week, we're going to talk about how he washes feet, how he's a servant, how he's humble, and he loves through humility. And the third week, we'll talk about how he breaks bread, how he invites us into a beautiful community through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, that you are our perfect love, and that we can learn so much from just appealing to the Bible to show us the truth of what love is, what love looks like, and how we can model that behavior. And we thank you, O Lord, that in your perfection, we have something to reach for, to strive for. Help us, O God, as we receive this word, God, it might be a challenge for some of the people in here, and even those that are listening online, that, God, forgiveness can be a challenge for a lot of people. So, God, be in this word, God, soften hearts, and may we not leave this place the same way we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in Luke 23, we have the story of the crucifixion of Christ, and he's led to the place of the skull. Meanwhile, he's carrying his own cross and being insulted and spit on and hit until he gets to the place where they nail his hands to the cross and lift him up. And in Luke 23, it says this, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And in this moment in time, we have the most amazing display of forgiveness, and that was Christ on the cross. Do you know that we understand that the crucifixion, the act of crucifixion, is an excruciating experience, yes? Do you know what excruciating means? Out of the cross. Excruciate, right? It's out of the cross. The term, the very term of excruciating that we understand is extreme pain, comes from the knowledge of what crucifixion actually was. That they were tortured, that they were humiliated, they were stripped naked and hung on a cross so that people could jeer at them and spit at them and insult them, and that's what Christ had gone through. Just mere feet off the ground, naked and exposed before everybody. They're mocking him. King of the Jews, you can save others, but you can't save yourself. Why don't you get yourself down from there? For hours to endure the taunts and the mocking. The creation, making their creator in the flesh, mocking him. And he, in this moment in time, he prays the most incredible, grace-filled prayer written. In verse 34, because it goes on to say, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Forgive them. As his creation is crucifying him, the creator, he prays, forgive them. Jesus was asking forgiveness for what really seemed the unforgivable. But he's able to forgive sinners. Now, chances are, if you're alive for any length of time, you will experience offense. You will be hurt. You will be wounded. We live in a broken society. And humans, just being the way the humans are, will do something to offend you. Somebody might have abused you. Somebody might take advantage of you. Somebody might betray you. Somebody might gossip about you, lie about you, cheat on you. Even a Christian might do one of the most unchristian things. You might have had an offense from being in a church somewhere. Maybe a parent wasn't there for you. Maybe you're even holding a grudge against somebody that's not even living anymore. carrying the burden of something that happened a long, long time ago. And sometimes it's not even a huge offense. You could have just somebody in your life that just annoys the tar out of you all the time, and you find yourself not wanting to be around them, that you can't forgive their annoying behavior. You just want them out of your life. Sometimes we're bitter at God. Sometimes we can't forgive God for things that we seem that should never have happened. God, why did you allow this to happen? And you hold on to a bitterness or unforgiveness towards the Lord. Or maybe it's yourself. I know for the longest time, I couldn't forgive myself for all the things that I had done. Maybe you're holding on to unforgiveness to yourself. So how do you forgive? With all of these things that possibly happened, right? We have all of these opportunities for offense. How do we then forgive like Jesus? Forgive like Jesus. Well, the first one, and I think this is one of the most difficult things, is that we pray for those who hurt you. Right on the cross, Jesus modeled that. Ultimately, they were wounding and killing him, and at the same time, he is praying for them in the moment of the offense. He is praying for their forgiveness. In Luke chapter 6, this is verse 28, he says, "Bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you." Now, I know what it feels like sometimes because I've been there before. Somebody's offended you to a point that you are so angry, and you know you're supposed to pray for them, but your prayers end up being something like, "God, do something about it," right? That's your prayer. There's no grace, there's no mercy, but you're praying, "God, take care of that for me, would you please? How about you give him hemorrhoids?" You know, there's a country song by Jaron Lowenstein. I think it was like 2009. It's called "I Pray For You." This might be what you're feeling when challenged to pray for somebody that's really hurt you or offended you. The lyrics go like this in part of the song. "So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said you can't go hating others who've done wrong to you. Sometimes we get angry, but we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do his job, and you just pray for them. I pray your brakes go out running down the hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you." So, okay, we're not supposed to pray that way, right? We're supposed to pray the way that Jesus prayed. And this is Matthew 5, beginning in verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now listen, that kind of, just like Jesus, right? He turned everything upside down. Everything that was expected, everything that they knew, he would say, "You've heard it said, but I say." "You heard it said, but I say." And he turned everything upside down because the expectation was that what he would say would align with everything that they already knew. In that culture, in Roman culture, they had a god of revenge. They had a god of, "Get him, God." Right? There was no forgiveness. There was no call to soften your heart and pray for them. It was you pray to the God of revenge. Do something, God of revenge. And then also in the Old Testament, right? In the Hebrew scripture, in the Jewish law, it said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? There was this exacting justice. If you do something to me, I do something to you. You hurt my donkey, I hurt your donkey. You steal my cloak, I take your cloak. You do something to my daughter, I kill everybody in your family, right? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So Jesus steps up and says, "You've heard it said, but love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." A complete 180 from what they knew. So I want to say, has someone ever hurt you? Pray for them. Has someone devastated you? Pray for them. Has someone betrayed you? Pray for them. Pray for that friend that lied about you. Pray for that boss who mistreated you. Pray for that parent that abandoned you. And pray for that friend that let you down. Why do you think Jesus might have taught this, right? That he was teaching a particular action. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Could it be that he understood the concept that attitude precedes actions? If we get our hearts right, then our actions will follow. So we had to teach people to pray a certain way to get their hearts right so that their actions would follow. You know, if we wait until it feels right to ask someone for forgiveness or to offer forgiveness, we will never do it. Can I get an amen? Right? But we walk by faith and not by feeling, right? Because our feelings can be, they can mislead us. And so if we wait until we feel like forgiving somebody, we may be waiting until Jesus returns. Amen? So we have to do it regardless of what we feel like. I know I've shared this story before, but there was an offense by somebody that I had partnered in ministry with. And I held on to it for a long time. And God was trying to get a hold of me and telling me to forgive. And there was I must have been nursing it and rehearsing it and talking about it in my mind until the Lord said, you need to send that person a thank you note. And everything in me didn't want to do it. I didn't feel like it. And as a matter of fact, was in rebellion, really, to what God had told me to do for at least a month or so. I just was like this spoiled child until I realized that I had to do what God had told me to do. And in the writing, it's like praying blessings on somebody that has offended you. When you write something positive and affirming, you are praying blessings on that person. You are recognizing that God loves that person. And you affirm the things that are good about them, the things that their strengths that they have, the things that they've achieved, the shared experiences that were a blessing, instead of focusing on the negative and instead of focusing on the things that hurt. As a matter of fact, when we were at Exponential last winter, they had a whole session on forgiveness, and especially in ministry. And I found myself in that session crying and praying blessings on that person's ministry. Bless it, O Lord. Continue to grow it, God. Bring people into the kingdom through that ministry. Continue to develop that ministry. Strengthen it, O God. Bring men and women that'll strengthen that and support that ministry. I prayed for a half an hour at least for that ministry and those people. See, my prayer, your prayer of forgiveness may or may not change them, but it will always change you. It will always change me. Those prayers, those acts of blessing someone that has injured or wounded has changed me. So we love our enemies. We pray for those who persecute you. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not optional. It's not easy, but it's what Jesus tells us to do. All right. Love your enemies. Number two, I only have two today. I don't have three, I don't have five. It's just two. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Now, Paul says this in Colossians, forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, this particular scripture always kind of knocks me on my behind, okay? Because once I can't speak for anybody in this room, I can't speak for anybody online. If I were to take an inventory of all of my offenses, knowing that the Lord has forgiven everyone, and I've shared a lot with you guys, but I've not shared a whole lot either. And if I were to take a lot of those things and understand that at that moment in time when I got on my knees and I wept before the Lord and I said, I give you my life, I surrender my life to you, I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me new. At that moment in time, all of those sins forgiven. All of those sins forgiven. We were praying this morning, though your sins be as scarlet, you will be made white as snow. God gives us a reminder every winter of his constant mercy and his grace that we are made white as snow through the forgiveness that's offered to us on the cross. Forgive one another as you've been forgiven. If you have a relationship with Christ, if you are a Christ follower, you must forgive as you've been forgiven. You must. Let me give you an example of kind of what it looks like if we choose not to forgive. And I've experienced this, okay? I love my family, not healthy, okay? So I'll try to make this funny at the same time, okay? Because it can be a little disturbing sometimes. But I used to come into holiday situations like Thanksgiving and Christmas and get like agita. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to be around these people. They make me super uncomfortable. And I would get really tense and kind of sick and neurotic leading up to the holiday. Okay? And before I had my gallbladder out, the pain that I would get from the gallbladder, Tom would always say, that's because so-and-so's coming over. Ultimately, that wasn't it. The relationship between all the yummy food you eat during the holidays and my gallbladder pain was actually what was going on there. But at the same time, he recognized the fact that there was something internally always going on, always having this stuff going on. And so when we choose not to forgive, we're constantly living like this, right? Where that person might come over our home or we're in a shared experience and you're just sitting there going, you know, inside, giving them the evil eye, talking but not really talking. And you end up adapting to this unforgiveness behavior and you're not allowing yourself to enjoy, to interact, to experience everybody else in the room because there's this one focus that's so negative and that's all you're focused on because you haven't let it go. Let it go. Okay. Anne Lamott says this, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. In our flesh, it is impossible to forgive the way that we are called to forgive. Sometimes we think that we just bury it, right? I'm just going to bury it. I'm not going to talk about it. I've forgiven him. That's not forgiveness, okay? It's like having a scab covering up whatever is festering underneath. And all it takes is one interaction, one memory, one phone call, and it's just coming out everywhere because you've never truly forgiven that person. Forgiveness is a freedom that we experience where the interactions, the memories, the recollections don't begin to bring up all of that visceral reaction. You'll know when you've forgiven that person when that doesn't happen anymore. When you're faced with that person and interact with that person and it's all good. You don't feel that anymore. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to forgive the way that God calls us to forgive, to love like Jesus by forgiving sin. We all do it. Do you know that chances are you have offended somebody too? Right? I know I'm an offensive person, okay? I'm quick to speak, slow to think, and I know that I can be offensive. So if I know that, and my heart is right, I'm not looking to offend people, how much more do we know that other people are offending, they don't know. Do you know that when you're holding on to offense, they're just sleeping like babies? They have no idea that you are nursing this thing and waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning with your eyes wide open and rehearsing the offense and getting angry and beginning to sweat and having to kick off your covers because you're getting all caught up in the offense of the person, and that person's like this. No clue. And yet we think that somehow holding on to that will punish them somehow, just like that, drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. We have to take it to the Lord, amen? We have to sing it. Let it go, let it go. All right, you gotta let it go. Because here's the thing, forgiveness won't change the past, right? Forgiveness does not change the past. It just changes your future, right? It doesn't excuse behavior. It doesn't negate anything that has ever happened. Forgiveness does not change your past, but it does change your future. It changes you so that moving forward, the way that you process things, the way you think about things, the way that you interact changes because you've been made free, right? When I choose to forgive, I choose to set a prisoner free. That prisoner is me. We think when we offer forgiveness, it's for the other person. It's not. You know, we can only control our own behavior. We can only control what we do, how we respond, and the choices we make. And so when I choose to forgive, I set a prisoner free, and that prisoner is me. So I wanted to give us a chance. You know, sometimes the whole idea of forgiveness is difficult. Even just talking about it brings up memories for some people. And so I just wanted to give you an opportunity. Maybe God is really speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe this morning you came in and you really are carrying a hurt. And I know I try to share a message in a way that is have some humor and some lightness, but at the same time, there's something deeply serious about harboring offense and bitterness, and that it's controlling your life. And so I don't know if you're in here, or maybe even if you're watching online, and this message has done something in your heart where you're saying, I need to forgive somebody. There's somebody in your life. Maybe it's somebody that has abused you. Maybe it's somebody that was unfaithful. Maybe it was somebody that's not even alive anymore, but you've been holding on to unforgiveness. A parent, a grandparent. I just want to pray for you right now that we could seek God to help you forgive and to help you let it go. So would you just join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just come before you, O God, knowing, Lord, that you call us to forgive. And Lord, this message, oh Lord, might have stirred something in the hearts of your people this morning, God, brought to mind an area that has been well hardened and well harbored and held in the darkness, God. And we pray, Lord, that that's able to be brought into the light in this moment, that in this message of forgiveness, that there will be a willingness to let those things go. So Lord, be with your people as they take a step towards forgiveness, God. May their prayers begin simply, but develop from just God do something to God bless them. And to be able to develop a prayer of forgiveness, systematically releasing the offense and bringing peace and freedom into their lives, God. And so we thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, we can do this. That God, in our nature, God, in this human nature that we have that is fallen and broken, that, Lord, we don't want to forgive. Sometimes we harbor those things because they are so egregious. But God, if you can model forgiveness by praying for your persecutors and murderers on the cross, then how can we not? If you have forgiven all of our sins in that one moment in time, oh God, and that we can receive that as followers of Christ, how can we withhold forgiveness from anyone else? And so, God, help us make that step towards forgiveness. God, help us in our weakness, oh God, help us in our reluctancy, that you would draw us out of ourselves, Lord, to be able to forgive and to offer that up to you, oh God, and to surrender the bitterness that might have taken root in our lives, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you remove it by the power of your Holy Spirit, to dig it out from those deep, dark places, oh God, and to take it upon yourself, oh Lord, that we just can't do it, but we need you today, oh God. We need you today, oh God, to take these offenses. Help us in our hearts, in our spirits, to offer them up to you in prayer. We surrender all these things to you, oh God, knowing that you are a perfect God and that your shoulders are not too thin or too weak, God, to handle it, oh God, but that you have all the strength and the ability to take on all of what we offer. We thank you, God, for this in Jesus' name. As we continue to prayer, maybe there's someone in here, oh God, that is burdened by their own sin. They feel the weight and the guilt of it in their lives, and that they haven't been able to forgive themselves for what they've done. God, I believe that there's no accidents, there's no coincidences, God, that people within the sound of my voice, Lord, either in this room or online, God, might be just that person that needs to hear that through faith in Jesus Christ, that guilt can be removed, and the power that that sin has had on their lives can be broken. And so if that's you, today is the day that you need to call on him. Today is the day that you need to understand that there is no sin. There is nothing that you have done that can separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that separates us from the love of God. But we need to understand that there is a greater God. There is a Savior who came to take that sin upon himself for you to be able to live in victory, to have new life, to be able to be unburdened by that sin and that guilt and to live in victory. And his name is Jesus. And in the book of Romans, it tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if that's you today, I ask you to pray with me, and I'm going to ask everyone in this place, and even those that are watching online, if you would pray with me in faith, that those that need to surrender this to the Lord today would be able to do so, you would just pray with me these words. Heavenly Father, just repeat after me, pray with me, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins, make me new. I believe that Jesus died for me so I could live for you. Oh, hallelujah. Fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own. It belongs to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. And God's people said, amen, amen, hallelujah. Be blessed, church. Go in the glory of the Lord. Amen, amen.